I'm Thomas von Oesen, Head of Germanic Research for ISS, and welcome to the May Proxy Bulletin podcast for the European region, which focuses on several markets in the region that are hitting their peaks. Joining me here in Berlin is my colleague Alexander Walker, who will cover Germany, the Netherlands, Switzerland, and Sweden today. Joining us from Paris is our French senior research analyst Antoine Nejm, who will cover his home market, France, plus the U.K. But let's start in the heart of Europe, where the discharge of directors appears to be a hot topic at many AGMs this season. Before we speak about specific meetings, Alex, what is discharge and why has it emerged as such an important topic in Europe this year?
Proposals to discharge directors of liabilities routinely appear on shareholder meeting agendas in many European markets. In the context of proxy voting, granting discharge to a company's directors may be compared to a tacit vote of confidence in the company's corporate management and its policies. Some discharge resolutions at European companies during the 2019 proxy season have been highly contentious, so it is important for shareholders to know that their votes to deny discharge can be very influential, or even have a legal impact in some cases.
Thanks, Alex. What is exactly the impact of rejecting discharge? Are there any differences between markets like Germany, the Netherlands, and Switzerland, where we have seen high-profile cases this season?
It depends on the market. In Germany, for example, granting discharge to the management board and the supervisory board are generally standard annual requests. Although the discharge vote in Germany does not have any legal repercussions, its symbolic impact can be huge. Boards or individual directors that receive less than, say, 60 to 70% shareholder approval could be severely damaged, and in many cases, there would be pressure on them to step down. So indirectly, the discharge resolutions have the potential to decide the fate of directors and is thus a significant tool for shareholders in the German market. In the Netherlands, the situation is comparable to that of Germany. Discharge is more symbolic than anything else. But in addition to the reputational risk, there are some legal consequences for directors. So if not discharged, continue to be liable towards the company. In Switzerland, the annual vote on discharge applies exclusively to known events. Shareholders who vote to approve discharge limit their legal rights with respect to known events, and they would face greater difficulties in taking any future legal action against the company, relative to shareholders who did not support discharge. There is a limited window for dissenting shareholders, however, as their right to sue ceases after a period of 6 months.
Interesting and hopefully important to better understand of what happened at some large meetings. In our April podcast, we already discussed the Bayer's AGM, including recent developments at its newly acquired Monsanto unit. The voting results on discharge surprised many market observers. What happened?
More than 55% of investors present voted against the discharge of the management board. This AGM marks a historic vote, as it was the first time that shareholders have refused to discharge an incumbent CEO at a German blue chip company. Bayer's supervisory board was also hit by the revolt, with only 66% voting for the discharge of the board. Investor confidence in the life sciences and pharmaceutical giant was apparently shaken in August 2018, after two US juries deemed Roundup to be responsible for the plaintiff's cancer. Bayer has lost roughly a third of its market capitalization, and to make matters worse, earlier this week, a third jury just rendered a judgment against Bayer and awarded more than $2 billion to a couple who also claimed that Monsanto's Roundup weed killer caused their cancer. And this might only be the beginning, given that more than 13,400 US lawsuits related to Roundup are still pending.
So it looks like Bayer will remain in the headlines going forward. Germany isn't the only market with high-profile discharge votes, however, as shareholders have targeted discharge ballot items at some companies in the Netherlands. What are the key meetings of note?
The first one is banking giant, ING. Nearly two-thirds of the votes cast went against the discharge of both the management board and supervisory board. This was in light of concerns regarding ING's past failure to comply with legal obligations to adequately monitor and escalate financial crime, including a €775 million settlement with the Dutch prosecutor. The The supervisory board also showed poor judgment by proposing to increase the CEO's pay package by 50%, although public outcry led to ING withdrawing this proposal. At the meeting, the chairman of the supervisory board expressed disappointment at the outcome of the vote, but he also said that he considered it as a source of encouragement to continue to enact remedial actions. Significant dissent was also recorded at floating oil platforms builder SBM Offshore, where 37% of shareholders voted against the discharge of the supervisory board. Concerns were raised over pay practices and the supervisory board's decision to exercise its discretion to increase bonuses to recognise the settlement of legacy corruption and bribery cases. SBM bribed Petrobras officials and maintained a bribery scheme that lasted for almost 16 years. SBM paid a total of $825 million in settlement costs for legacy corruption cases, which represents approximately 25% of its current market capitalization. In addition, the former CEO was sentenced to 36 months in prison and received a fine of $150,000 for playing a key role in the massive bribery scheme.
Thanks, Alex. And talking about big banks, ING was not the only one on the continent where discharge was not approved.
That's right, Thomas. Shareholders of Switzerland's largest bank, UBS, rejected the discharge of directors due to the imposition of a record 4.5 billion euro penalty after a French court found the bank guilty of illegally soliciting rich clients and laundering the proceeds of tax evasion. A judge levied a 3.7 billion euro fine and ordered UBS to pay 800 million in damages. The bank is appealing, but that process could take years. At the annual meeting at the beginning of May, 42% of investors voted against and 17% abstained from discharging the board and top executives from legal liability, meaning it fell short of the majority needed to pass.
That's already a handful of prominent cases where the boards failed to receive majorities to be discharged. I cannot recall any past seasons where we have seen so many contentious votes on discharge large companies. It's too early to tell, but this could be a new shareholder voting trend in Europe. Alex, are there any other meetings on your radar where discharge could also be contentious?
Deutsche Bank may also face a challenging AGM on May the 23rd. Over the discharge of directors. The company has seen a drastic share price decline in light of continuing legal proceedings and regulatory investigations, as well as questions around its strategy, following the breakdown of merger talks with Germany's second largest bank, Commerzbank, after almost 6 weeks of negotiations. Over the past 5 years, Deutsche Bank's share price has declined by almost 75%, making Germany's banking giant by far the worst performer in comparison with its own peers, in the US, the UK, and Europe. Last year alone, shareholders suffered an approximate 40% loss. Additionally, a slew of new investigations were launched against the bank for the failure to have appropriate anti-money laundering and know your customer controls. Also, in an unprecedented move, the German financial regulator appointed a special representative to monitor Deutsche Bank's implementation of anti-money laundering and anti-terrorist financing measures in September 2018. Just 2 months later, in November 2018, Deutsche Bank's offices, including its headquarters, were raided in connection with an investigation into allegations of money laundering between 2013 and 2018. And finally, an eventful period surrounding the AGM of the Swedish bank, Swedbank, ended with the dismissal of the CEO and the resignation of the board's chairman, following allegations that the bank has failed to prevent extensive money laundering. Now, the bank's five largest shareholders, who also make up the nomination committee, have requested an EGM to elect three new directors, including a new board chairman. This meeting will take place sometime before June the 21st, and it will notably include the nomination of the former Swedish Prime Minister as the new chairman.
Thanks for this overview, Alex. Now let's move on to the UK market. Antoine, what do you expect for the upcoming weeks?
The next few weeks offer a welcome respite for UK investors, as meeting volumes will taper off as we move towards the end of May. The UK market will remain somewhat quiet until late June, when the second peak of AGMs will begin for companies with financial year ends of March 31st.
Yeah, good to hear that things will calm down for a while, but were there any interesting votes since our last update from the UK?
Yes, there have been a couple of very close votes on remuneration. Clarkson, the shipping broker, saw its remuneration report narrowly passed by a razor-thin vote in favor of 51%. And SEGRO, an industrial REIT, secured a narrow majority of 53%. Standard Chartered has also been making the wrong kind of news. The struggling bank received tepid support for its remuneration policy, with 64% of votes cast in favor. Headlines have centered on the Remuneration Committee's treatment of pension allowances, which were not aligned to the broader workforce, and thus not in line with the recommendations of the UK Code of Corporate Governance.
Thanks, Antoine. It's not a surprise then that pay continues to be a hot topic in the UK.
That's right, but there is another UK bank whose problems extend well beyond remuneration. Metro Bank, a challenger bank that floated in 2016, announced to the market in January that it had miscalculated the risk weighting on certain of its loans. This mistake had the effect of increasing the risk-weighted assets, or RWAs, by £900 million. As such, the company's capital buffers no longer meet regulatory requirements, and the bank will need to tap investors for a further £350 million. Shares have continued to tumble in the month since the announcement, thus implying a deeply discounted equity raise that will significantly dilute existing shareholders. The UK regulators, the Prudential Regulation Authority and the Financial Conduct Authority, have notified the Metro Bank that they intend to investigate the circumstances and events that led to the RWA adjustment. The CEO reportedly offered to resign, but he has remained in office with the support of the board. In line with the normal practice for a FTSE 350 company, all directors stand for re-election at the upcoming AGM, which will be held on May 21st.
So finishing our European meeting roundup with France, how is the rhythm of the season during this period in the French market?
Most of the CAC 40 companies have already had their meetings or will have them during the month of May. But the French season continues throughout the end of May and early June, with the bulk of mid and small cap companies holding their AGMs.
And are there any updates on the hot topics put forward during our last podcast?
Board responsiveness remains a hot topic in France. We previously mentioned French issuers increased responsiveness to shareholders' concerns, notably on topics related to remuneration policies and their application. Reaction to shareholders' concerns during the meeting convocation period was common this year. Several companies updated their meeting agendas or provided additional disclosure in response to shareholders' concerns and pre-AGM dialogue with investors. Atos, the digital services provider, responded to shareholders' concerns around the stringency of performance conditions attached to a new authorization to issue performance shares by issuing a press release modifying the vesting schedule. The modified vesting schedule scales back vesting below guidance issues that appeared in the initial vesting schedule. Also responding to shareholders' concerns, on April 26, Total modified its registration document, canceling and replacing the previous version, following the board decision to withdraw a stock options resolution from the agenda. The authorization initially provided for the award of stock options with no information on performance conditions, and the policy's wording was vague on the subject. These concerns drew investor skepticism around future non-performance-based stock option awards, a practice that fell below French main index company practice. Finally, Valeo, a car parts manufacturer that had a difficult year operationally due to several market factors, initially presented a remuneration policy which provided for a 15% salary bump for 2019 benefiting the chairman and CEO. Moreover, in the context of him fulfilling his last term, no information was provided on post-mandate vesting provisions for future LTIP grants. Following engagement with shareholders, the company issued a press release scaling back the basic salary increase from 15% to 10% and introduced proration for effective presence during the vesting period for future LTIP awards.
As a follow-up to our last podcast, Renault's upcoming AGM should also be very interesting to follow.
You're absolutely right. Following the arrest of former chairman and CEO Carlos Ghosn, the upcoming June 12th AGM will be an opportunity for shareholders to address many of the governance risks that have arisen with respect to the alliance with Nissan and the ramifications of potential wrongdoings by the former CEO. These questions will surely be asked to the board and its new chairman. Meanwhile, the alliance with Nissan is a question that has reached the highest levels of the French state. The general meeting will include a rare board recommendation to shareholders to vote against Carlos Ghosn's remuneration report, practically preventing him from cashing in a €224,000 bonus.
And a rare instance of shareholder activism also occurred this season with the first steps of the merged French-Italian giant EssilorLuxottica as an integrated player in its first AGM.
Several shareholder resolutions are proposed at EssilorLuxottica's general meeting in response to a governance crisis. The crisis stemmed by declaration by Leonardo Del Vecchio, executive chairman and Luxottica's historical figure, to the Italian press. In it, he expresses his intent to propose Francesco Milleri as future CEO, following the current CEO Hubert Sagnier's end of mandate. This was perceived by the French side as a creeping takeover of the company by Leonardo Del Vecchio. Both sides have been considering whether the post-merger agreement, which defined equal powers and weightings between Del Vecchio and Sagnier, has been violated.
And what do the shareholder resolutions bring to the table?
The shareholder resolutions present three independent board members who are supposed to break the stalemate that prevents the board from functioning correctly and efficiently. On May 13th, the company declared that the French and Italian sides reached a settlement agreement to overcome the current governance issues and set the basis for a new beginning. Consequently, the employee pension fund, one of the proponents, withdrew the resolution proposing an independent candidate 3 days preceding the general meeting.
Many thanks, Antoine, and Alex, too. And that's it for May's European podcast. Watch your email for the next installment and send any comments or questions to bulletin@issgovernance.com. Have a great day and bye-bye.